2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Noon hour is here.
Check it out.
And you're locked on to Utah's highest rated, most listened to sports radio station.
It's my station.
It's my station.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hey, can I ask you a question? This is going to be my real jerk question of the day.
I'm always up for a good question.
I'm gonna tick off listeners right out of the gate.
Fire.
If you like, COVID's very serious, and you know the amount of fatalities are horrific. But if you get it, do you really need to go and make the big proclamation on social media that you have it? Or should you just like hunker up in your room, watch a little Netflix, get through it, and then resume your life?
Can I plead the fifth on this? Because I have a very heavy opinion.
And
I'm afraid my opinion is going to ruffle feathers.
Now, look, if you're in the hospital, then yes, by all means, let us know because I want to know. But if you're like, oh, it got me, guess I'm going to hunker down. Just like, hey, okay, look, you got it. Okay, that's great. But if you're in the hospital, let me know. But if you're just like, I just think there's some, I don't know. I'm going down a bad path, aren't I?
Yeah.
This is when Lloyd usually jumps in. Eric, this is your fault. You're taking the heat on this.
I apologize. You know, I'm in the not getting COVID Hall of Fame. So.
Oh, that's famous last words right there.
Yeah. This is how I'll answer your question. Just leave it to the medical professionals. Because they've really done a great job.
Trust the science.
Oh, my gosh.
Look, COVID's very serious.
I might never trust science or the medical professionals ever again.
Well,
as long as I live.
I mean, I think all of us, nobody knew what was going on.
And when somebody tells me, hey, trust the medical professionals, I'm going to be like, no. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to trust my instincts. That's what I'm going to do. Because it seems to be better than that.
Look, COVID's no joke, and I'm not making any light of it, but I just think that there's a lot of social media influencers out there that are just like really hoping deep down,
I can't believe this is how you started the show.
I just see Twitter every day. Oh, guys, you guys.
It's not just Twitter, man. It's everywhere.
I got it, y'all.
Thought this has gone away. I thought it had gone away, and now here we are.
Oh.
If I could get a meal delivered.
Just mild symptoms. Okay, then don't tell anybody.
Yeah.
Why do we need it? If it's just mild, look, if it's serious, please let us know.
Yes, we'll be there.
We'll run some dinners over to your family. We'll do whatever we got to do.
Food, blessings, prayer,
so we got it. Yeah. But if you're just like, you guys, I tested positive. I just have mild symptoms. Okay, then nobody, all right, fine.
Then you scroll down.
Go watch some Netflix. Like you scroll, drink some soup and let us know.
You scroll down and there's like 20 pictures of them at 12 different concerts throughout the summer.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
What did you think? I mean, honestly, what did you think? Here's just a little tip for you. Get a little extra rest, clear out the nostrils, and we're ready to go.
Yeah. Hang out at home, binge watch a Netflix series, And then when you get negative, or when you have that negative test, come on, you know.
It is so crazy how this COVID mess hits certain people, though. It still hits, like, certain people are like, I'm fine. Some people, they're still down and out. It's just crazy how it's hit and miss.
Yeah.
I can't believe you. This is a, should we jump into some
Eric,
other things?
You dial it down back there.
Eric, we're going to.
I got to hear it from Lloyd. I don't need to hear it from you.
I apologize.
Any other things that you want to?
I don't know. What bugs you Friday? All right. I got one more. If you're on social media and you're having a bad day and you need somebody to love you up a little bit, just call your friend or call somebody and be like, you know what? I had a really bad day.
That's true.
Like, can I just vent for a second? Like, I vent to you all the time. Yeah. I'll call you up out of the blue or you call me. Like, you know what? This is really bugging me.
Yep. And it happens all the time.
And you just have this verbal just spew of things you're upset about. And then you listen and you're like, all right, we good? All right, I'm good.
Yep.
But when somebody gets on the old socials and they tweet out something like, you guys, today was the worst. And then that's where you end it.
Yeah.
And then you're hoping that a bunch of people come in like, oh,
you always
Karen,
get the fake Twitter
what
backing.
Happened? Yeah. What can we do for you? I got your back. Blah, blah, blah. Shut up.
Yeah, those same people, you'll make a mistake on Twitter, those same people will torch you and tell you to go to hell. Like, the ones that are reaching out now on Twitter, the second you mess up, they're going to hate you for life. Go to find anybody. Like, find a family member.
Yeah.
Mom, dad. If you just don't have a single family member, maybe I could understand it. But go to somebody that actually cares. Little tip, social media doesn't actually care. It doesn't actually.
Yeah.
When I call you, I know you care.
Yeah.
When I put a post out on social media, they don't actually care. And some on Facebook, like, but I'm not going to go to Facebook because then my mom will instantly call and be like, hey, I saw that you're down. What's wrong? And then you got to come clean with your mom. Like, yeah. Anyways, you know, the bank that was robbed last week. Yeah, they finally caught me. Like, I was looking for some.
I'm looking at 10 to 14. Yeah. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, Mom. It wasn't you that I was looking for support from. But, yeah, I'm with you. And it happens a lot. Yeah.
But a lot of this was spurned by you've put out a lot of great content on the socials and on the old Twitterverse. The tweet you sent out today, like, I wanted to, like, call you and give you a standing ovation because it was one of the greatest tweets I've ever read.
Have you seen all this stuff going on Twitter right now?
Yeah. Like, the vitriol on Twitter.
It's stupid.
It's really stupid. It's really dumb. And it's ridiculous.
Stop finding things to be offended by. It's dumb. I sent out a tweet that said, football season's close. I can sense it by the level of sensitivity on this application. Ignore what triggers you. Walk away from conflict. Fan with your own fans. Mute buttons your best buddy. Live a happier life. It's that simple. Stop finding things to be offended by on social media. Stop it.
Yeah.
Stop finding things to be offended by that aren't a direct attack on you. Stop telling me that I need to be better at reading a room. Stop it. Just stop it.
Now I feel like I got you upset.
Now you've got me all kinds of upset. You know what? Let's keep talking COVID.
Nope. We're not going to keep talking COVID.
Nope.
I feel responsible for that.
No. Great. Now I think you've got me in trouble.
Yeah, I was looking forward to the weekend.
See, Eric, that's your job to step in and tell us to move on. That's on you.
You just told me not to.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Eric.
Wait, that's on you, buddy.
That's my fault. Yes. I bear the weight of the world on my shoulder. But this is good advice, too. I recently learned as a young person that being angry online is not worth my time.
Oh, so good.
You know what I did? I muted Twitter notifications, and that changes your life.
Because it helps.
Then you can just sign on when you want, tweet out whatever you want, and get out. You know what the best invention is? The Twitter web browser. All you do is open up that tab. It's terrible to surf on. Send out your thoughts and get off, you know?
And get out.
I'm with you, Eric. Oh, and by the way, make sure you do listen to the medical professionals. It's important.
No. Look, I think we're all adjusting. We're all trying to figure out things. Everybody's trying to figure out what to do. We're good.
Yeah. Make sure you listen.
All right. Hands of Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Let's get to it. I apologize. That's on me. I just saw like four people tweet out this morning that they have COVID.
Was it that high?
And they're like,
I know we're flooded with it right now.
It's like, I get it. And if the, all right, never mind. I'm stop. Stop. All right. Let's get to it. Starting lineup right now.
This is Hanson Scotty G.
Let's go!
The lineup is set, and it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the Starting Lineup, presented by Peach Windows and Doors. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Starting lineup right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
So we've got a couple things we need to get to, Scotty, today. But today, you and I had designated this about 2 weeks ago as the day that we would officially pick our outcomes for the college football season. And I know everybody's anticipating it and have been waiting for it. And today is the day. Where do you want to start? Utah State, Utah, or BYU? Picking our official records for each of the three D1 FBS schools in the state of Utah.
Should we start with the Aggies?
Let's do it.
All right. I always feel a little weird doing this, you know, as the play-by-play guy. So I will give you a record. I don't know if I'm going to – I won't go individual games. But I will give you an overall record on what I expect on Utah State. How about that?
Oh, that's fine because...
Because I don't want to individually like analyze each game.
That's fine.
As, you know, yeah, as their play-by-play guy.
And I will.
Yeah.
But I understand what you're doing.
So, I will say Utah State this year, I will put at 9-3.
So, I've got them at the same record, and my losses are Alabama, BYU, and Boise State.
Gotcha.
Those are my three losses. Alabama. And Alabama's kind of 50-50. Like maybe, maybe not.
It's a toss-up. Flip a coin on that
one. If they end up 10-2, it's because they beat Alabama. Not because. So I'm going to go Alabama, BYU. Obviously, I'm joking. At BYU at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. That's going to be a really tough game.
If Utah State beat Alabama, is that the greatest sports story in the history of the state of Utah?
It would be.
I mean, the Jazz, the NBA Finals, BYU to the Cotton Bowl, Utah breaking. I don't know. Utah beat Alabama in a BCS game.
Yeah, it would be. It would be the greatest sports story and victory in the state of Utah.
It's hard to pass up that one.
Especially if Alabama went on and did great things.
Oh, yeah.
But
Alabama's out there talking about this is the best Alabama team in history.
I will tell you, I understood why Kevin Graham put his life on that BYU-Oklahoma game. Now, I wasn't dumb enough to do it, but the whole time leading up to that game, I kept thinking to myself, yeah, I could understand why Kevin's putting his life on this. Like, I totally get it.
Yeah.
This is BYU's game, or this is Oklahoma's game, and it's not even close. Well, BYU goes in and wins that game. It was a neutral site. This is about 10 times more already decided than that was, and I was pretty decided on that one. Like, Alabama's just so good, and they just don't lose out of conference games. But that's why I think Utah State needs to be strategic with the way they go about that Alabama game.
Yeah.
They got to be smart.
Well, I look at the Logan Bonner situation. If Logan Bonner is 75%, 80%, you're going to beat UConn with or without Logan Bonner.
Right.
And you're probably going to lose to Alabama with or without Logan Bonner.
Yep.
So maybe that Weber State game on September 10th is the game you bring Logan Bonner back if there's any level of concern on where he's at going into the season.
It's not a bad idea. And people that are like, well, I don't know about that UConn team, go research him.
Take a deep dive on UConn.
Yeah, go research him. Now, I would be very careful to not have him on the field against Weber State the following week after Alabama.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah.
Because you never know with Weber State. Weber State, I think, is going to be sneaky good. I saw the FCS power rankings, country power rankings. They had them like 16th because they had a misstep last year, but they had some quarterback issues and injury issues. And
finished the season 5-1 in their last six games and had really close losses to two top 10 FCS teams.
Now, they lost two really good talent, but I think that they've got plenty of talent there. So I wouldn't mess around with that game. That's at Merlin Olsen Field. But I would make sure that I've got him back for Weber State and up and running for the remainder of the schedule, especially when I go to Lavelle Edwards Stadium.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to risk Logan Bonner against Alabama.
No.
Because they're going to be able to get the quarterback. So I think you're right. Now, look, if it's not Boise State inside Mount West Conference play, I don't think they go undefeated in Mount West Conference play. Whether it's an Air Force or a Wyoming loss, I don't think they go undefeated in Mount West Conference play.
I think Colorado State is going to be sneaky good this year. I love Jay Norvell, their new head coach. You and I have been big fans of his for a long time.
Yeah.
He brought a lot of that Colorado State team with him. And keep an eye on, why am I spacing his name all of a sudden?
That's a CBS Sports Network game against Colorado State. 5 o'clock kick. And that is at Colorado State, if I remember right.
Yes. Yep. They go to Wyoming. They go to Colorado State this year, and they go to Boise State.
So that's going to be a really tough game.
There is a quarterback, and I can't believe I'm spacing his name, but he's the son of Hugh Millen. I think it's Clay Millen. Hugh Millen is his dad. Played in the NFL for a few years, Patriots, Broncos. His son Clay Millen was with Jay Norvell at Nevada. Did not play last year, but is expected to be the starter this year for Colorado State, and I've heard that dude can really sling it.
So, Scotty, am I overestimating Boise State again? Am I making a broad statement too quick? It's the final game of the season for Utah State.
Boise State comes back. Hank Bachmeyer's been there forever at quarterback. He's back. They do lose some receivers.
This will be his senior year, right? His senior COVID year.
Senior COVID year. He's been there forever. They lose some depth at receiver. Their defense, though, should be really, really good. And George Helani's back at running back. If they can keep him healthy, then they got a chance to be Boise State. They're always going to go out there and play really well and do some damage. So, yeah, it's Boise State, and I think you have to look at it. Although I do think this is as beatable of a Boise State team as we've seen in years past. Air Force is probably the best Air Force team that Troy Calhoun's had in a long time. Air Force is probably, I picked Air Force second in that division.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Air Force could be really sneaky good this year. They're the biggest. To me, they're the biggest. They're more of a threat to Utah State in that division than Boise State is.
Air Force is?
Yeah.
Just taking a look at this.
Again, bringing back everybody.
Beat Air Force 49-45. That was one of those miracle games last year.
Oh, man. That game was insane.
An absolute miracle. There were some incredible miracle games. You know, you do look at Utah State and think to yourself, can they have that same type of magic 2 years in a row? Because some of the things they did.
The ball seemed to bounce their way a lot last year. And sometimes that catches up with you.
Jeez, Air Force finished the year 10-3 last year.
Yeah, and they bring back everybody. The quarterback, the running backs, the fullback, the offensive line.
Air Force went 6-2 in conference, only losing to Utah State and San Diego State. That's right, because that was a crunch down at the end. You needed Air Force to lose a game.
Yeah, and the way that it played out, that final game, Boise State was playing San Diego State. If San Diego State won that game, that put Utah State into the Mountain West Conference Championship game, which happened. But had Boise State won that game, Boise State wasn't going to the Conference Championship game. It was going to be Air Force.
So they do have Hazeek
Daniels is back. The Brad Roberts kid is back. The offensive line is back.
Hazeek Daniels last year, 1,200 yards passing, 800 yards rushing, 11 touchdowns on the ground. Classic.
Check out Brad Roberts' numbers, too.
Classic Air Force quarterback, but pretty incredible. Let's see. Brad Roberts. Brad Roberts. Oh, man. Yeah.
And this is from the fullback position.
Yeah, Brad Roberts, last year, Scotty, 1,400 yards on the ground, 300 attempts, 13 touchdowns.
Yeah, he's a problem.
And he's back.
Yeah.
Yet both of them are COVID seniors.
Yeah.
So both of them are back as COVID seniors. So this was This is his year. 1,400 yards on the ground, 13 touchdowns on the ground. He was averaging, he averaged through the season nearly 5 yards a carry.
Yeah.
So between those two, I could see Air Force is going to be a real handful.
All right, should we get to Utah and BYU next?
Let's do it.
All right, we'll talk Utes and Cougars straight ahead as we count you down to the start of the season. Hans and I both have the Aggies at 9-3 going into next season. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
You're locked on to Hans Olsen and Scotty Chin.
That's right. Yeah.
Presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, we got Utah State nailed down. 9-3 for Utah State. Which, 9-3, depending on what that third loss is, that one loss that you count in Mount West Conference play.
Yeah.
If that team's undefeated, then, you know, it's going to be a struggle. But if it's in their division, because Mount West is going to still play in divisions, correct?
Yes, this year.
They haven't announced.
They will
move to it in 23?
Yeah.
Non-divisional.
Non-division. Remember how that weird scheduling thing where they get San Diego State and Boise every year?
Yeah. But that doesn't start till next year.
Okay. Yeah.
So you got to make sure that you don't, it's not one of your in divisions, and it makes sure that you get yourself back to that Mount West Conference game, but they can do it.
All right.
They got the talent to do it.
Should we go BYU?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. You want to go game by game here?
Yeah, sure.
South Florida.
Win.
I'm with you on that. Baylor.
Even though we did mention that that South Florida quarterback is Baylor's quarterback from last year.
Jerry Bohannon.
Yeah.
So we got a win against South Florida. Baylor at home September 10th. I'm still going to put that as an L for BYU.
I'm putting it as a W.
Are you?
Coming back to Lavelle Edwards Stadium. And if we talk to the Baylor beat writer, play-by-play
guy. Two-time Texas
That's right.
broadcaster of the year.
I should have known that. If he would have had any confidence in the quarterback situation at Baylor, then I'd be much more worried about this game. And I'm not saying that it's for sure a BYU win. I just think Baylor doesn't know what they're doing with their quarterback right now. And BYU's improving in the offensive trench and staying about level in the defensive trench. So Baylor with a new quarterback, and they've got this 6'4 kid that he was talking about that's supposed to be a beast, but I'm going to give BYU the edge in that one.
Oregon on the road at Autzen. I'm going to go W in that one.
We've got a win against Oregon.
Wyoming at home. Not sure why you're playing Wyoming, but that's a W.
Got to win against that one.
I'm going to let you call the Utah State game.
Utah State, as I put it on their schedule, when we just predicted their schedule, I'm going to give BYU a win against Utah State.
Notre Dame coming into Las Vegas to play BYU.
We haven't seen Kalani Sitake and Aaron Roderick. We have not seen them really in the last year or two, be enamored and overwhelmed by who their opponent is, what it says on the helmet or who it is. You know, it feels like BYU's done a really good job of completely dismissing all the history of a team and saying, does our personnel match up with your personnel, and what can we do schematically to make sure we're capitalizing on you? They've done a really good job at that.
What was the game where they never passed the 50-yard line? Was it LSU? And was that, I think, I want to say it was LSU in the, and they never made it past the 50-yard line or something like that. I think Tanner Mangum was still playing. I think it was the Ty Detmer was still OC at that point.
Hmm.
But that was the one game where it's like, oof, this is bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the only game that I can think of where it's like, ooh, Utah or BYU may not even, shouldn't be on the field with these guys.
Right. The logo, the logo and yeah, they were overwhelmed by it. With that being said, I think that this could be a really good game, but I'm putting it as BYU's first loss in Vegas at against Notre Dame.
Yeah. I'm putting it as a loss as well.
Okay.
All right, going down the rest of the schedule here. Next up is Arkansas coming into BYU. Arkansas is one of those teams I think a lot of people think of as an SEC team that really shouldn't be an SEC team. But this Arkansas team this year, it's going to be really good. I'm putting that as an L.
This Arkansas team is going to be a problem. Wow, so you've got them starting the season with three losses so far?
Yeah, but that's where I'm going to keep them. So I think BYU goes 9-3 this year.
So they were in the Outback Bowl. Arkansas was in the Outback Bowl last year against Penn State.
You have that game?
I called that game.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I called that game, and Penn State went in at half up 10-7. Penn State was fundamentally, they were beating them. And I remember thinking, geez, where is this KJ Jefferson that everybody keeps talking to me about? At that point, I think Scotty, KJ had like 10 yards through the air and like 10 yards on the ground. Talking about the first half against Penn State.
Yeah.
He comes out and in the second half puts 100 yards through the air and 100 yards on the ground. Puts up 200 yards in basically a half and scores 17 points in the third quarter. He single-handedly scored 17 points in the third quarter. It was like, oh, that's who. Okay, so that's why I prepared for this guy. Because I went into this game like talking about KJ Jefferson. And I was a fan of Sean Clifford. Sean Clifford was the Penn State quarterback at the time. But like, all the film pointed to KJ Jefferson and Arkansas being a dynamic, speedy offense that had a lot of different explosive potential. And they showed it in the second half. Did not show in the first half, but showed it in the second half. So I know this Arkansas team is going to be a real problem for BYU. Even though it's at Lavelle Edwards Stadium, I know it's going to be a real problem for BYU. That's a tough one.
You're itching over there.
Yeah, I'm itching over here.
You want to give them a W.
I'm wondering how they respond to a Notre Dame loss. Because they're going to come back.
That's an interesting angle there.
They're going to come back from Vegas. Notre Dame, it's going to be a physical game. I think it's going to be a close game and probably a loss. And it's how do they respond? You know, for right now, Scotty, let's put it down as an L.
All right. That's where I've got it. Then you got Liberty. You make the lovely trip to Liberty.
I want to know who scheduled that trip.
I remember, look, you and I have been doing this show for 8 years. We've had a lot of shows, and there are some shows that I remember specifically individual moments from. I will never forget the individual moment where in the middle of a segment, the press release comes out that BYU had scheduled a home-and-home at Liberty, and I announce that on the air, and I look over you, and you're like,
gotta be kidding me.
To Liberty.
It was a low point of Independence. Still is to me.
Liberty's a pretty good team, though.
They are, and they've put a lot of money in.
They fought hard in the game in Provo.
They've put a lot of money in.
They just had a first-round draft pick in Malik Willis, who played, I don't know, you watch him play last night? Looked pretty good.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
And
Moves like a video game character. There's really no other way to describe it.
The Kevin Graham lookalike coach is, you never know what.
You freeze.
Oh, man.
Coaching from his hospital bed.
Have you seen how much he looks
like
Kevin Graham?
Yeah, he looks like Kevin Graham.
It's a dead ringer for our old on-air guy.
They both have about the same moral standards, too.
And you wouldn't say that if you knew
Kevin.
You'd be like, dang right it is, Scotty. we'd all be on board, rocking and rolling. Yep, win against Liberty.
All right.
So right now, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So right now, you have them 5 and 3. I have them 6 and 2.
Yep. East Carolina at home. Don't know much about the Pirates, but I'm still taking BYU to win that game at home.
They'll beat them.
BYU then goes up north to the Blue Menace. They take on Boise State. I've got BYU winning that game.
Yep. 8 and 2 for me.
Yep.
7 and 3 for you.
Dixie State. With a game in Provo. Obviously, that's going to be a W on November 19th. And then you wrap up the season with a trip to Palo Alto, taking on Stanford. Hands out, I'm going to still put that as a W.
All right. So, yeah, you held to your word. You've got them
at 9 and 3.
At 9 and 3, and I've got them at 10 and 2.
So, instead of usually when I look at a season, I don't necessarily go game by game. And so I might be rethinking this a little bit, because if you look at the four most difficult games of the season for BYU, mm-hmm. you look at Baylor, you look at Oregon, you look at Notre Dame, and you look at Arkansas.
Yeah.
Right? Those are your four. So the question I usually have when I'm putting a schedule together and trying to predict predict wins and losses is, what are those records? Because I think a lot of people believe BYU will go 8-0 in the other stretch. So if BYU goes 2 and 2, is that too much to ask for BYU to go 2 and 2? Instead of looking at it individually, let's just looking at it as a block of games. So Baylor, Notre Dame, Arkansas, and Oregon. Can BYU go 2 and 2 in that stretch? Because right now I've got them at 1 and 3, but I'm not necessarily comfortable with that, because I don't know. Like, I think BYU can go 2 and 2 in that stretch.
They can. I've got them at 2 and 2 in that stretch. I've got them losing to Notre Dame and Arkansas, and I've got them beating Baylor and Oregon. So I've got them 2 and 2 in that stretch. I would be more. I would lean more towards a 3 and 1 than I would a 1 and 3.
Ooh.
I just think BYU's team was really undervalued last year. I think that Jaren Hall is being undervalued again nationally.
Yeah.
Even though he's getting some pub and some recognition, this BYU team has just been completely ignored through the coaches' poll process and through a lot of these national writers that I respect that just released. I mean, you've got 4 or 5 that have released their recent polls, and you're having a hard time finding BYU looked at as a top 25 team. They lost nobody, and they finished 13th in the college football playoff polls at week 15 last year.
Yeah.
13th. And they lost nobody. And they played a good schedule, a very decent schedule last year. So I'm shocked that people are really undervaluing. And, you know, I would much rather set things up achievable for Kalani and for a BYU football team. I don't like to overproject. And I can't look at this team with who they've got back if they stay healthy and say, this should be a better team than last year. It should. It should be a much better BYU football team than it was last year.
So last year, when we had that roundtable show, we were all eating burgers and milkshakes down there and at the slider place. Mm-hmm. And I had BYU, and I put them at 9 and 3, and DJ loses his mind, PK loses his mind. They're like, there's no way they go 9 and 3. And I had them at 9 and 3 because I looked at the individual schedule, and while there were some big names on it, they weren't in good places. You knew USC was going to be a dumpster fire near the end of the year, and they were. And so the schedule looked daunting on paper, but it really wasn't. I think the schedule this year is far better than last year's schedule, is far more difficult than last year's schedule with those four teams. And so I do think you've got better, much improved competition, but I also agree with you that I think BYU is going to be a better team than they were last year. So you know what? I hate doing this because I don't want to piggyback on you a little bit, but yeah, you know what? I'll stick with 9 and 3. But you're right. Like, I'm leaning more 10 and 2. I'm leaning more 10 and 2 than I am 9 and 3, but I don't want to, I don't know. I want to be a contrarian here a little bit. I don't want us to be too lockstep. So I'll stick with 9 and 3.
Both are successful seasons. Both land you in what was predicted was the Frisco Bowl. Both a 9-3 and a 10-2 season, you end up in a Frisco Bowl against San Jose State.
Yeah,
I can't remember. I was listening to Jake. I can't remember if it was McMurphy. Who typically puts the bowl projections together?
There's a lot of guys. It's like McMurphy does it, yeah.
Jake was talking about how somebody put it together, and they said it is the Frisco Bowl. If they're 10-2 and their two losses are against Baylor and Notre Dame,
it's the Frisco Bowl.
Even if Baylor goes on and does great things.
Yeah. If they're 7-5, it's the Frisco Bowl.
Frisco Bowl. That's why.
Which, by the way, Cougar fans, I've covered Utah State playing the Frisco. It's a really good bowl game.
Is it?
They do a good job. It's in that soccer stadium outside the Dallas Cowboy facility.
Yeah.
It's a good stadium. You'll love it.
Really?
As far as a place to go and hang out and a lot of stuff to do.
You're telling me it's not the Independence Bowl.
It's going to be way better than the Independence Bowl. Now, look, you're not going to have a great competition, but if you're looking for a fun place to go to take your family around the holidays, enjoy some decent weather, a lot of good food, a lot of great fun things to do, a good stadium that they're going to treat you right, it's a good bowl game. I'll say that. It's a good bowl game. Is it ultimately where you want to be? Absolutely not. But it's, to your point, Hans, it's light years better than that abysmal dumpster fire that you went to last year.
That was really rough. Shreveport needs to shut that one down. That stadium needs to be shut down. I told you that the entire parking lot is weeds and dirt, grass. There is no paved parking lot outside of that bowl. I felt bad for BYU fans that went to that bowl. Because you had inclement weather. It was rainy and dark and cloudy. You had a terrible stadium. You sit down and you better have a tetanus shot. That's how bad it was. You better have a tetanus shot. It was the bowl is just rusty. The inside, there's grass growing through the cracks of all the cement areas inside the stadium. And I'm just thinking to myself, BYU deserved better than this. That team deserved better. And I totally get it. Why BYU was like, yeah, Jaron, you could probably play. We're not going to do that, man. Let's just keep you healthy, get you ready. Well, it's not hurting. Yeah,
it's a meaningless game. Meant nothing.
And I was telling Jake, I mean, if you end up in the Frisco Bowl against San Jose State, it really might be an opportunity to say, hey, if you're getting ready for the NFL, everybody sit. You know, if we're going to have you back with high eligibility next year, everybody sit. Let's just take a look at what we got. I almost feel like using a bowl game like that with a team like this as an opportunity to see what you got. That's the thing that really scares me about this BYU team, Scotty. This is a team that should get some opportunity at the end of the season to really prove themselves, but they won't if they've got two or more losses.
Yeah.
Maybe if they've got one or more loss. Like, what if their one loss is against Notre Dame? I don't know if the country even knows what to do with BYU at that point. Now, they'll get some nice recognition for beating Baylor and nice recognition for beating Oregon, but then they'll lose to Notre Dame midway through the season. Everybody will be like, oh, there we go.
That's what we expected.
Notre Dame could go on and be a Final Four contender, and everybody will still be like, oh, yeah, but we already saw what BYU would do against high-level competition, and then BYU ends up in a bowl that they don't deserve at the end of the year. One more year of this. You hope one more year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
As they now move into the Big 12. You hope that when they're in the Big 12 and, you know, they got a two-loss schedule, that they're going to get just a little bit more bowl respect. But I am worried that this team's going to get passed over.
I'm still thinking 10 wins on this team.
Are you?
You know what? Put me down at 10-2.
So who are you taking back?
Okay, I'm not taking anybody back. So what I'm doing is I think BYU goes 2-2 in that stretch. Like, I don't know how it plays out.
Oregon, Notre Dame, Arkansas.
Yeah, I think BYU, I'm not going to look at individual games. I'm just going to say they go 2-2. I have a hard time thinking BYU is going, and when you look at it individually, yeah, you can pop out losses here, but I can't in good conscience put BYU at 1-3 in that four-game stretch. They're just better than that. So I don't know who they beat. I don't know who they lose to, but I don't think they go 1-3 in that four-game stretch.
Do we throw out what you may have missed and do Utah?
How about we do this? Let's do what you may have missed, and then because I want to devote a whole segment to Utah.
Yeah.
We've given them a whole segment to Utah State and BYU, and that's our quick segment. So let's do what you may have missed, and then at 105, we'll devote the whole segment to the University of Utah.
This was all supposed to be done in the starting lineup. But Utah needs a segment.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
I don't want to cheapen that conversation.
There's a few matchups here we need to talk about.
So we'll get to that at 105, what you may have missed coming up next. Utah fans, I know, don't be grumpy. We're going to give you a whole Big A segment on your schedule coming up at 105. Right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Looking for the latest on the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies?
Yeah.
We've got you covered. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the Sports Zone.
This got played in your car a little bit, I'm sure.
I like Lady Gaga. Well, I like this song from Lady Gaga. I like the Lady Gaga in A Star Is Born.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. I really liked that movie.
I thought she was phenomenal. Now, Bradley Cooper was incredible.
Bradley Cooper's a heck of an actor.
I thought that's the worst ending to a movie I've ever seen.
Didn't everybody die?
Pretty much. Yeah. The hardest part was seeing what happened to his dog. Because, you know, they build this dog as a character of the show.
They killed the dog?
I don't want to.
It's been out for a little bit.
Terrible things happen. And then, obviously, what happens to her is heartbreaking. So, yeah, the whole thing is just miserable.
So you liked the movie, but didn't like the ending?
Not when they incorporated the wolves at the end, it's like...
The wolves ate the dog?
I don't want to spoil anything.
Wow. Is this song in the movie?
No, this song is not in the movie. And then that thing that was the love child between Yoda and Chewbacca.
Yeah.
The way they incorporate that.
Baby Yoda.
It's heartbreaking.
So, like, I'm at a point in my life where if I go to a movie, I just want cheap entertainment. Like, I don't want to be emotionally affected by a movie anymore. And so I have not watched this movie because I heard that it's got a depressing ending to it.
It's a hard draw.
And so I purposely avoided it because I don't want to be bummed out when I go to a movie. I don't want to be, just give me some Avenger, everybody blows up and the good guys win and I can eat my popcorn and drink my soda. And I go out of there thinking I'm not a better person for watching this movie, but I was able to zone out.
And I was happy.
And get cheap entertainment for my ticket price.
Have you seen Elvis?
I have not. I have heard that's a pretty good flick, though.
Well, we're supposed to be doing a family viewing of that at some point. We're supposed to be watching. I guess it's supposed to be a pretty good movie. And family can watch it. I guess they didn't throw a lot into the mix of it.
Lisa Marie was like 12 years old.
Well, that's what I was thinking. If you're really going to do Elvis's life, isn't it? Kind of a rough style. Was Lisa Marie 12?
I think she's 14, maybe.
Because he, like, escaped. Yeah, anyway. I am going to watch it. I'm excited to watch it. I went to Graceland when we went and played in whatever bowl game was out there. What is that, the Motor City Bowl?
No, that was the...
Liberty?
Liberty. I always get Independence and Liberty mixed up.
That would have been the Liberty Bowl, right?
Oh, wait. Elvis, she was 21. Oh, never mind. Sorry.
We must be thinking about somebody else. But it wasn't Elvis's lifestyle crazy?
I think they met when she was 14.
Like, his whole life was crazy, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Have you ever tried a fried peanut butter and banana sandwich? Wasn't that his, like...
Yes and no. That was his.
Yeah.
Or that's one thing he loved, but no, I never tried it.
I have not either.
It sounds decent. I've tasted a grilled peanut butter and jelly. Which is really good.
My son will put a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and put them in the air fryer.
That sounds really good.
And I'm embarrassed to say that it's really, really good.
Yeah, that sounds
And then
good.
I'm like, okay, let's not do this ever again.
Really quick on what you may have missed before we get back into this Utah schedule. Tyler Huntley looking really good last night,
Ooh,
Scotty.
Tyler was dealing.
Finished 16 of 18 for 109 yards and a touchdown. He had a 17-yard, well, he had three attempts for 17 yards on the ground and looks really good. I don't know if Tyler Huntley ever becomes the guy, but he is definitely the guy you want behind the guy because he can take you to wins. If you lose Jefferson for any stretch of time, he can get you some wins.
Honestly, never in a million years thought Tyler Huntley would develop as an NFL quarterback. And I'll own that. Yeah, I'm more than happy to own it.
Me neither.
Hopefully, I think that's what separates you and I from a lot of other radio shows.
Yeah.
Is we'll own it. If we're wrong, at least I will.
Well,
I was on wrong about Tyler Huntley.
The way I look at it is,
I never thought he'd get out of a training camp, let alone be a possible starting quarterback this time next year in the NFL.
The way I look at it is players need to have the opportunity to prove loudmouths wrong, and it happens. And when it happens, having been a player, I would like the ones that doubted to say, oh, yeah, he proved me wrong. Tyler Huntley, he's proved me wrong as a professional quarterback. To this extent, as a backup, and a backup that has had to carry some starting responsibility, and the backup of a quarterback that puts himself in harm's way every game, probably 20 times. Now, between 15 and 20 times every game. The quarterback that starts in front of him and puts himself in jeopardy. So, Tyler Huntley deserves a bunch of credit for what he's been able to put together. Just looking at last year, Scotty, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games. Well, not the best record in the five, but 5 games started, and he was 1-4. But very close. He lost 31-30 to Green Bay, 20-19 to the Rams. Wait. Listen to the games he had to play. So he loses 20-19 to the Rams.
Is that the one where they went for 2?
Yep. Loses 31-30 against Green Bay. Loses 24-22 to Cleveland.
Jeez.
Beats Chicago. Loses to Pittsburgh in OT. Goes to overtime with Pittsburgh. So kept every game close, very close. Lost a couple. But he's still the type of backup that you want. And I tweeted out a video of him post-practice. Talking about the games that he's got under his belt, why he played so well last night. And he's got this big grin while he's talking about playing against TJ Watt and playing against some opponents that produce a lot of fear. D-tackle for the Rams.
Not Sam Darnold. I don't think he strikes fear in anybody.
Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
He talked about Aaron Donald and TJ Watt, and he's like, when you play against those guys, it helps you have an emotion for these types of games. And he just had that same big Tyler Huntley smile. He smiles so big, and he talks through the smile, so you can hear him smiling. You remember, you go back when we asked him about the receivers he had, and he gets this big smile. Oh, man, I've got so many targets. And he's
Dana,
got this smile,
Darren.
Like he knows something more than you know. Yeah, and he rolls through all of his targets. It went through like 5 or 6 names with this big smile. I like that kid. Love the way he attacks the game.
Hans and Scotty, 1 o'clock straight up. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. All right, Utah. We've gone through Utah State schedule. We've gone through BYU schedule. What do we expect out of the University of Utah in 2022? We will tell you next, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.